On day three of the Denver DNC, former President Bill Clinton addressed delegates. Barack Obama's running mate Joe Biden accepted the vice presidential nomination, and Obama himself made a surprise appearance.
Barack Obama will lead us away from the division and fear of the last 8 years back to unity and hope. So, if, like me, you believe America must always be a place called hope, then join Hillary and Chelsea and me in making Barack Obama the next president of the United States. Thank you, and God bless you.
John thinks that during the Bush years, quote, we've made great economic progress. I think it's been abysmal. And in the Senate, John has voted with President Bush 95%, and that is very hard to believe. And when John McCain proposes $200 million in new taxes for corporate America, $1 billion alone for the largest companies in the nation, but no relief for 100 million American families, that's not change. That's more of the same.
Hello, Democrats! I just wanted to come out here for a little something to say. I want everybody to now understand why I am so proud to have Joe Biden and Jill Biden and Beau Biden and Mama Biden and the whole Biden family with me on this journey to take America back.
The voices of Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, and Barack Obama, respectively, at the Pepsi Hall in Denver yesterday. Meanwhile, outside the convention hall, Rage Against the Machine played to a crowd of thousands, followed by the largest demonstration of the week, an anti-war march led by Iraq Veterans Against the War. IVAW members in Denver demanded to meet with the Obama campaign and deliver a letter containing their demands to end the war and support veterans. They were met by 100 Denver police clad in riot gear and armed with batons and tear gas. Eventually, one member of IBAW was allowed to cross the police line to meet with a representative of the Obama campaign. Major U.S. news media chose to almost completely ignore this dramatic story, but Aura Bogado was there, anchor for Free Speech Radio News. She's covering both conventions for Pacifica Radio. She's also blogging from inside and outside the conventions at tothecurb.wordpress.com, and she joins us once more this week to tell us what's been happening in Denver. Welcome back, Aura.
Good morning, Sonali.
So first, very briefly, let's get your comments on what happened inside the convention hall. I played little clips of Bill Clinton and Joe Biden and Barack Obama's surprise appearance. How did delegates inside the halls react to these speeches and Barack Obama's surprise appearance?
Well, it probably wasn't that much of a surprise to the people inside the convention. There was a lot of chatter about that. I ran back in from the IVAW march outside to try and file something, and by the time I walked in, everyone was chattering about, we think Obama's here, we think Obama's here. Of course, the big deal for last night was that Joe Biden was on. And he, you know, made an interesting speech. And, yeah.
So let's talk about what happened outside the convention hall. The IVAW march, of course, from here in Los Angeles, the little that we could find out about it through outlets like Democracy Now! And you know, the Guardian newspaper from London, sounded pretty dramatic. The major media ignored it. But what happened in your words? What happened when you were there?
Well, I think that last night's action by Iraq Veterans Against the War was a clear victory. Their demands were very clear. They issued a letter to the Obama campaign calling for full health care and benefits for all returning veterans, the immediate withdrawal of all the troops from Iraq, and reparations for the Iraqi people for anything that was caused by the CRS invasion. They went back and forth from what's called the Freedom Cage to the other side of the perimeter. They were marching in formation in response and reaction.
And they were wearing uniforms, many of them, right?
Many of them were fully uniformed, yes. Mm-hmm. And there were many times when it got very, very extremely tense. I mean, you could feel how tense it was. between the thousands of riot-clad police officers. I mean, I just couldn't count. I really was trying to get an accurate count of how many police officers there were.
Well, the report that I saw said only 100 Denver police.
No, not at all. That's completely inaccurate. I mean, I think I have, from the pictures that I took, there's at least 100 pictures of police officers from last night in my pictures alone. And I couldn't get around and photograph all of them, nor did I want to. But there was no less than 1,000 police all over the place.
I want to play the interview that you did with one IVAW member now at the march. This is Ara Bogado, anchor for Free Speech Radio News. She spoke yesterday at the major march led by Iraq Veterans Against the War to one of the members there.
My name is Sergeant Mathis Shiro. I served in Afghanistan, the Philippines, Germany, Japan, Poland, Italy, a bunch of other places. I was overseas for more than 4.5 years while I was in the military, actually. So I'm not a conscientious objector. I would absolutely pick up arms in defense of this nation, but I will not participate in an illegal war of aggression, which is inflicting immeasurable damage, not just upon my brothers and sisters, but the Iraqi people themselves. And I want to apologize to Iraq for the past 5 years of occupation. I want to apologize to the Iraqi people for the damage we've done their country for no good reason. This was an illegal war of aggression. President Bush, in my opinion, defrauded our nation's military might and tricked us all into an illegal, aggressive occupation. Preemptive strikes will not fly any longer unless they are very, 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 very credible. We can stand no more hijacking of the rule of law in the United States, what is supposed to be a shining beacon on a hill, as an example for the rest of the world. We cannot continue to carry on in the manner we have these past 5 years. I am so overjoyed that this action today might have an impact on the direction of this nation. Every single member of Iraq Veterans Against the War is a hero for standing out here today in the face of overwhelming adversity and standing true to our values, standing true to what we know is right, and not betraying ourselves, our experiences, and the truth in the face of potential violence directed at us, a nonviolent organization. What I am very, very happy about is that the march remained completely nonviolent and respectful to the authority here. Iraq Veterans Against the War is absolutely not an anti-authoritarian organization, nor are we anti-military. And I'm overjoyed that our demonstration, our beliefs, could bring people from all across the political spectrum to unify around one central point of justice and peace. Thank you to each and every last member of Iraq Veterans Against the War. Thank you to my mother for laboring for more than a day to bring me into this world and supporting me these long 24 years. I love you, Mom. I love my family. I can't wait to see him again. That's all I can do. Thank you.
That's the voice of one member of Iraq Veterans Against the War, interviewed by Ara Bogado, anchor for Free Speech Radio News. She's currently in Denver. She'll be heading to the Twin Cities next week, and she's blogging from inside and outside the conventions at tothecurb.wordpress.com. Ara, a very moving interview. It's interesting, the political position of this particular member that you spoke to. How did that play with the other organizations, some of whom are quite radical and to the left of IVAW in Denver?
You know, I think this is something I'm going to be blogging about later today. I've been thinking a lot about 1968, probably the last 2 days. I've been thinking a lot about 1932, just in terms of elections and the economy and everything that happens around presidential elections. I was just stunned that this group of veterans, you know, all of them have served. Most of them will say, I need to apologize to the Iraqi people because I have blood on my hands. This group of veterans led about 10,000 people. This guy that I talked to that you just played the clip from, the reason I went up to him to talk to him is because he was taking a picture with some friends he made this week. I asked those young people if they identified as anti-authoritarians, and they said, yes, we're anarchists, we're hardcore anarchists, right? You know, dressed in black, had their faces covered, and they're taking this picture with this guy that's, you know, served in the military, is against this war, he's in full army fatigue. And I say, how does this happen? How this is very different than during the Vietnam War when people were against the war. And they're like, well, we learned from that. We learned that we can't turn against people that have served overseas and that have those experiences and that want the same peace that we want. And it was really amazing, Somali, to see all these veterans lead about 100 feet behind them, to lead all these people. You had Democrats. You had people that were not, you know, delegates, but just everyday Democrats from, you know, wearing Obama T-shirts. To anarchists, you had people from Food Not Bombs, you had medics, you had the National Lawyers Guild, you had, you know, everything that you would see, all the types of folks that you would see at an anti-war march, and they were all being led by Iraq veterans against the war. It was pretty stunning.
Aura, you interviewed an Obama delegate. Again, here's another political position here. Norman Solomon, very progressive analyst and writer, who is interestingly enough inside the convention halls. I want to play for our listeners the interview you did with him, but can you set it up for us, who Norman Solomon is and his position inside the convention hall?
Well, Norman Solomon, of course, is the author of War Made Easy. He ran on an anti-war platform to be an Obama delegate, won handsomely in Northern California. And he's basically the one that's talking about 1932, how you had this very right-wing McCain-like Herbert Hoover. And then you had this Democrat, FDR, and the country was, you know, in a state of depression. And what ended up happening after FDR won was we got the New Deal, right? And if we look back on this election too, we'll remember that Hoover had these vehement attacks against Roosevelt, like FDR was some kind of crazy leftist radical, which sort of sounds familiar this week with McCain camp launching this ad linking Bill Avery to Barack Obama. But Norman Solomon's whole point is that we need to start with the grassroots. I sort of feel like this IVAW victory last night is an example of that.
Aura Bogado, thank you so much for joining us, and I'll see you in the Twin Cities next week.
I'll see you then, Sonali. Thank you.
Thank you. Aura Bogado, anchor for Free Speech Radio News, who's covering both conventions for Pacifica Radio. She's also blogging from inside and outside the conventions at tothecurb.wordpress.com. Here is her interview with Norman Solomon, an Obama delegate, progressive analyst, and writer.
Well, I think it's important to put it in the historical perspective of the Democratic Party. You know, people say, well, look at the Democrats. And I think that that phrase, the Democrats, can often be very misleading. During the Vietnam War, there was Scoop Jackson, known as the senator from Boeing, a hawk for the Vietnam War. And then there was Senator Wayne Morse, who was articulate and emphatic about opposing the war in Vietnam. Now we have Democrats like Rahm Emanuel, who are blue dogs, who are pro-war, who are very kept animals of the corporate state, you might say. And then you have Barbara Lee and Lynn Woolsey and Maxine Waters. They all are called Democrats. So what is the future of the Democratic Party depends in large measure on what kind of organizing we do at the base. Precincts should be places where, because they are about the neighborhoods of our country, the left is able to mobilize effectively. And in a sense, I feel that sometimes as progressives, we kind of scapegoat overly people like, say, Nancy Pelosi. Because we have not been able to organize at the precinct level, we have not won the argument over the proper direction of this country. We have not won the argument among the people of the country, you might say, sufficiently for the need to oppose corporate power, to end the warfare state, to oppose what Martin Luther King called the madness of militarism. We haven't won that argument. Now, granted, there are huge obstacles, corporate mass media, huge amounts of money, the military-industrial media complex, but we have not been able to successfully persuade most people in this country that a progressive agenda is worth standing fully behind. So, yes, we should oppose the Republicans. Yes, we should oppose blue dog, conservative, centrist, pro-corporate Democrats, but we got a lot of work to do where we live, where we work, where we go to school, and that means grassroots organizing. It ain't easy, but it's really the future for us.
Norman Solomon speaking with Aura Bogado, anchor of Free Speech Radio News. Norman Solomon is a progressive analyst and writer, has written several books, including War Made Easy, and he is currently an Obama delegate. You are listening to Uprising, and for Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, Ralph Bunche once said, "There are no warlike people, just warlike leaders." That's Ralph Bunche, and that's Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day.